This morning, as we come to the Lord as in our time of worship and the sermon, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about John the Baptist, and I'm going to be giving you a little bit of background on him, but in particular, a little bit about his life as far as how he was called and how he answered that call. And that call that John the Baptist answered is the same call that's given to each one of us as professing Christians, that we should go out and we should serve. We should go to places that maybe other people might not go, but simply where we know that God's word needs to be heard. So this morning I've chosen as our text for our scripture reading, Luke, the first chapter, verses 57 through 60. And I ask that you stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, for he shall be called John." May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Father, we once again come, and we just thank you, Lord, that we have this place that we can come together on Sunday morning to worship you, to worship you through the fellowship that we enjoy with each other, through the reading of your word, through the songs, through the hymns, through the choir, through the message that you have for us today. And Father, I just thank you for this place, and I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the witness that's there. And I thank you now for these tithes and offerings that we are about to take up. And Lord, I just pray that these be used for your kingdom. And I thank you for those who just give so generously each Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelical churches today owe much to the Great Awakening of the 18th century. It was during this time that there were two men, one by the name of George Whitefield and another by the name of John Wesley. These two very, very popular preachers were in England, and the emphasis that they taught from the pulpit was an emphasis on the new birth. This offended many, many people in the churches at that time. More and more pulpits became closed to these men. They couldn't go and they couldn't preach this message. So Whitefield moved his ministry outside of the church. He began having open-air services. John Wesley continued to preach inside the church, but it wasn't long before he too had to move his message outside of the church. But what happened was revival began to sweep across England because these open-air preaching services became very, very successful. As I was reading this, the person who came to my mind was Billy Graham, and just how so many of his services were not inside of a building. They were outside in a football stadium or some big sports arena, but they were outside. And that's similar to what was happening with George Whitefield and John Wesley. It wasn't long before the message of these two men spread to America, and not only did that message spread, but they also came to America. And thousands were converted, and many new churches were formed. You see, they were denied the opportunity to preach in their own churches. So they remained faithful to one whom they served. They went outside, and not only did God bless them with that ministry, but he gave them other churches that they could preach in. Their moving to the outside is kind of an example of what John the Baptist did. This morning, as we look at our scripture verses, and we're going to be over in the first chapter of the book of John. But as we look at these scripture verses, we're going to see how John the Baptist also went to the outside, that he was out in the wilderness, and we're going to be seeing this in just a few minutes. Before we look at these verses of scripture, let me give you just a little bit of background regarding John the Baptist, so that you can understand a little bit more about just who he was and what he did. Over in the book of Luke, and I'm going to be reading several verses of scripture from the first chapter of the book of Luke, just to give you a kind of a synopsis of the life of John. And we know that his father was a priest, and that his father served in a church, and his father was named Zechariah. In the very first chapter of the book of Luke, it says, "And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Right here we see that John the Baptist came from a priestly background. "And they were both religious before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now stricken in years." Then God intervenes over in the 11th verse, and it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense." Zechariah had gone to the innermost part of the temple, and he was there offering an offering, as he oftentimes did. And it was while he was there and he was standing at the right side of the incense of altar that an angel of the Lord appeared to him. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Then over in the 19th verse, it goes on, it says, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things should be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in the season." You see, after Zechariah got this message, He questioned. He questioned the angel. He questioned God. And God said, "Until this child is born, you will be stricken dumb." In other words, he would not be able to speak. Then God also sent an angel to talk to Elizabeth. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take upon my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city in Galilee named Nazareth. And we know from the scriptures that when that angel went to Nazareth, he spoke to the cousin of Elizabeth, and she was a young lady by the name of Mary, who was later to be the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is what the angel said to Mary: "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son. For with God nothing is impossible." And we know that the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, that Elizabeth was there in the house, and Mary made haste, the scripture said, and she went and she was there with her cousin Elizabeth. And as she walked in, the scriptures say that the baby leaped inside of her. This baby that leaped inside of her is this very John the Baptist that we're going to be talking about this morning. Turn back over, if you will, to the book of John. John, the very first chapter. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, I want you to, first of all, understand that the first part of my message is going to be simply talking about how John went to where the people were and he confessed Jesus' superiority. Look, if you will, in the very first chapter of the book of John, beginning with verse 19 and going down through verse 28. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" The record of John, this is the testimony of John. You know, oftentimes we read in the newspaper or maybe we see on television where someone is called to court and they're offered the opportunity to give a testimony. And what that testimony simply means is they have to tell what they have seen. They can't tell what someone else has seen, but they have to tell and serve as a witness for something that they have seen. And so these words that we're going to see right now from the book of John is his testimony. It's John's way of saying, this is what I know about Jesus, the Son of God. John was very popular with the people at this time. You see, he was out in the wilderness, but people were still coming out and they were with him and they heard the teachings that he said. And in this verse of Scripture, it says that there were some Jews sent priests and Levites. You see, John's message was one that was very concerning to the people in Jerusalem. And so the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they sent out some priests and some Levites to John to talk to him. And these priests and Levites, I think it's very, very ironic that this was a group of people that they chose, knowing what we know about Jesus. We know that the role of the priests and the Levites were to serve in the temple. And we know that the role of Elizabeth and also John's father was one that he was there in the temple because they were of a priestly group. And so here these people are going out to talk to John and to bring concerns that are coming from the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. You see, these Pharisees are the very same ones who had concerns about Jesus. We know that John was not a priest. He did not. He grew up around the temple, and no doubt he knew a lot about the temple itself, but he was not a priest. In fact, in Luke 1:80, it says this about John, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel." And so John's ministry was there in the desert. Now, let's look on down at the other verses of Scripture. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ." John did this in answer to the question. And there's going to be a series of questions that these priests and Levites ask of John. You might want to say that this is a modern day committee of people, because they were sent out to talk to this man, John. And in talking to them, they had a series of questions that they asked of him. The very first question that they asked him was, "Who art thou?" And John's response to this is found in verse 20 when he says, "I am not the Christ." Now, John, when he said this, this was actually a confession of who he wasn't. But it was also an opportunity that John could share about Jesus Christ. It was a positive witness that he was able to have with these men. Then in verse 21, it goes on, and there were other questions. And they ask him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Why was it that they asked, was he Elijah? Because you see, Elijah had been taken up. If you recall the story of Elijah, he did not die. He was simply taken up into heaven. And there were some thoughts at that particular time that maybe John the Baptist was Elijah, that he had come back. And so they ask him, "Are you Elijah?" And John simply says, "No, I am not him." There are other reasons as to why they may have thought that he was Elijah. In Matthew 3, the fourth verse, there is a description of John the Baptist. And listen to what it says. It says, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." If you go back over to 2 Kings, the first chapter, verse 8, listen to what it says about Elijah. It says, "He was a hairy man and girded with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.'" And so the characteristics of John, his physical characteristics, were very, very similar to the physical characteristics of Elijah. Verse 22, they ask another question. "And they said unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?'" So another question is asked of John. And this time John comes back and he says this, and this is a quote from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the third verse. Look at what he says here in verse 23. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." You see, John didn't say, "Well, I'm John." He didn't say, I'm the son of Zechariah." He didn't say, "I'm the son of Elizabeth." He simply said, "I'm a voice. I'm a voice that's crying in the wilderness." Verse 24, once again, tells us about those men who were sent. "And they which were sent were of the Pharisees." So now we understand what group of people these men represented. And then verse 26 says, "And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not.'" This was in answer to the question that these men came back with. They said, "You said that you're not the Christ. You said you're not Elijah. You said you weren't a prophet. Then who indeed are you?" And John simply said, "I am a voice. I am one who baptized with water, but there standeth among you right now one whom you know not." He was speaking of Jesus. Jesus was not there at that time, but Jesus was in the area. And we're going to see in later verses of Scripture that Jesus came to them. And then verse 27 goes on, and he identifies who Jesus is. He says, "He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." In verses 25 through 28, John identifies who Jesus is. John was probably on the east bank of the river when all of this was going on. He was probably in an area called Perea. And this is where Herod Antipas, who later arrested and executed John the Baptist, this is where he served. John went where the people were, and he spoke in words that they understand. And just like these modern day ministers, Whitefield and Wesley, he went outside. Christians, and this is what we need to learn from these particular verses of Scripture, Christians need to witness to people wherever you are. Our outside could be our place of work. It could be our families. It could be while we're fellowshipping here in this place. It could be out on the beach. Wherever it is that God puts you, this is your place of worshiping outside. Many will never hear the gospel preached in a church. Think about that. We say, well, we have over 300 people here today. But there are many, many more people who are outside the doors of this church and outside the walls of all the churches around our country right now and around the world. There are people who will never go into the church. So how are they going to hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unless we tell them, just like John did? So what happened the next day? Look at verses 29 through 31. It says, And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with the water. John saw Jesus coming. This is what happened the very next day. And we're not sure if that committee of Levites and priests were there on that day. The scriptures don't tell us. But the very first word that John says, he says, behold. And that word simply means give attention. Give attention. There's someone's coming. There is Jesus Christ who's coming, who I've been talking about. And you need to hear the message that he has to say. And he proclaimed Jesus. And look how he did it in verse 29. He said, He is the Lamb of God that taketh away our sins. The Lamb of God. The Lamb in the Old Testament. We know there were several references to the Lamb in the Old Testament, as Isaac and Abraham were going up the mountain, and when they got to the top of that mountain, and Isaac said to his father, But Father, where is the Lamb to be sacrificed? And if you'll remember, Abraham's response was simply this: God will provide Himself a Lamb. The Passover Lamb. You'll recall that God told the Israelites to sprinkle blood over the doorpost so that when the death angel passed by, their houses would be protected. Those lambs then became a part of the Passover celebration. Over in the book of Exodus, we learn that the lambs were slain in early morning and evening in the temple. There's a verse of scripture, Exodus 29:39. It simply says, The one lamb that thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the evening. The words taketh away that are found in verse 29. It says, He taketh away the sins of the world. What that simply means is He lifts them up. He lifts our sins up and He carries them away. And we see that in the life of the suffering servant. If you went over to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Of course, this is a prophecy of Isaiah, and he's talking about Jesus. And later on, Peter says it this way. He says, Who has on himself bear our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness? By the stripes ye were healed. John also uses some words here, and it says, He was before me. We know that John actually chronologically was the older of the two people. So what did John mean when he said this? He was not referring to a chronological age. He was referring to Jesus and where he played as far as the creation is concerned. Recently in our Bible studies here on Sunday mornings, we have been looking at the book of John. Let me read to you the very first three verses of John 1 and then verse 14. And it says, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we see here that the Jesus who John was speaking about when he said He was before me, he was talking about the Jesus who was involved in creation. John also says something else. He says, "And I knew Him not." We know that because Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, more than likely John the Baptist and Jesus played together as children. Can you imagine what that would have been like to have sat and watched Jesus and John the Baptist play together? No doubt they may have even been in Joseph's carpenter shop and stacking little blocks of wood and doing things that children would do at that time. But here it is. John simply says, or what it means is that John was unaware of Jesus' identity and mission until God revealed it to him. John knew his role was to prepare the way for the Messiah and to make manifest it to Israel. John may have said this, "I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." John once again went to where the people were, and John spoke to them in a way that they could understand. Now look at the remaining verses of Scripture that we have here. Beginning with verse 32, and here we're going to see how John confessed the deity of Jesus to the people, but at the same time, we're going to see how John realized that this person, Jesus, was indeed the Messiah. And John bear record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." If you go back and you look at the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that all of them record the baptism of Jesus. But they go into a lot of detail. John does not talk about the baptism of Jesus as much as this. He says, "And John bare witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not." But God is about to reveal him to John. Because listen to what he says. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost." And so God said to John, he says, when you see this descending from heaven and resting on this person, then you'll know. You'll know that he is the one, he is the promised one that has been sent, and that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And then John says, "And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God." We began this morning by looking at the life of two men who were in England. And we said that they went to the outside. And they ministered to people outside of the church. And the message that I simply want to leave with you as one layman to other laymen is simply this, that God calls each one of us who profess Him as our Lord and Savior. He calls us to go out into the world and to witness for Him. The second thing that John did was, He spoke to the people and he put the words that God had given to them in a way that was very, very clear, and they could understand it. And you know, sometimes whenever we go out and witness, we try to make it as complex as we can. When God simply says to us, you just be faithful. You let me take care of what's going to happen in that person's life. I don't know how many times that I've had the opportunity to witness to people. And the one verse of Scripture that I continually come back to is simply John 3:16. Because you see, that is the gospel. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, if that was the only verse of Scripture you knew, if this Bible were taken away from us today, and the only verse of Scripture we had left was John 3:16, that's the story. That's the story of these Scriptures. And each one of us, we know that verse of Scripture, and we can use that in witnessing to people. So my question to you today is, are you that witness for Jesus? Are you that witness outside of the confines of this building? Whenever we walk out of here and we go out and we travel down 206 and wherever it is that God leads us, are you that witness for Jesus Christ? You see, that's a call for the person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because you see, we are to become Christ-like. And that's what Jesus would do. He would go out, and wherever we go, he goes with us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can witness for him. There are some of you here this morning who maybe are in need of a church fellowship. You're looking for a place to worship. And I can think of no finer place than Crescent Beach Baptist Church. I know the importance of being a part of a fellowship. And my prayer for you would be this. If Crescent Beach is not the church where you choose to witness, that you find the church. Because the blessings of a fellowship are just unnumbered. Being around people. But then there are also people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there are really two groups of people who kind of fall in that category. They're the ones who, at some point in their life, they have accepted Jesus Christ. But for whatever reason, whatever circumstances they have drifted away. And so our invitation this morning would be to you, for you to come back and you to accept once again that free gift of eternal life that only he can give, and the joy of your salvation. And then there's that person who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our prayer is that today would be the day that you would make that decision. Today would be the day that you make that decision. To come and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, I come and I thank you right now for the fact that we have been able to come together and worship you this morning. And I thank you for these people. And Lord, I know that right now there are some people here who need to make a decision. They either need to make a decision to follow you as far as church membership, or they need to make that decision to come back to you. They've drifted away for whatever reason. But the most important decision, Lord, is the one that needs to be made by that person who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. That is to come and to experience that free gift of eternal life that only you can give. Father, I lift up this invitation time to you, and I offer it to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.